It's possible in the future. The United States Navy is already looking at androids, essentially, for firefighting purposes, to be able to enter a compartment that the conditions would be completely lethal to a human being and still be able to fight fires and fix damage. It'll probably be an advantage for some sort of robotic assistance in space, given the various health issues and the microgravity, but there will always be a need for humans in the loop to be able to make the sort of decisions, particularly moral decisions, for the military context.
To what extent do you have medically trained people on every submarine mission?
Every member in the military has to maintain certain levels of physical fitness, and we get annual medical checkups and fitness tests and psychological assessments and all of that sort of thing. So everybody's reasonably fit and healthy. On board a submarine, we have what's called an underwater medic, who's very highly trained, probably at the level of a paramedic, and some surgical ability, and they are specially trained also in underwater medicine. So most of the issues that arise can be adequately dealt with by the profession, by the paramedic on board. I think there would absolutely be some benefit. The Defence Science and Technology Group that we're working very closely with in the Future Submarine Program are the people who are doing some very good research into human fatigue. I mean, your presentation really resonated with me. I was really surprised about how luxurious Antarctic accommodation actually is. I absolutely think that there could be some sharing and some benefit to be gained for long-haul space missions. This is a little bit off the cuff. We like to tell people that you can't be completely sane to be a submariner. You've got to be a little bit nuts, but you've got to be the right kind of nuts. So the vast majority of submariners, what you'd call extroverted introverts, very self-sufficient, very capable people, but also find it very easy, or at least acceptable, to be able to operate with zero privacy, pretty much zero privacy, and not get really upset and fly off the handle whenever arguments happen. Because we're isolated, particularly on an open ocean transit, which could take weeks, hundreds of miles, nautical miles away from land, from shipping lanes, from anything, it gets really, really boring. So we do whatever we can to keep ourselves amused and keep our spirits up. We play a lot of games. Like, this may sound a little bit silly, but in 24-hour time, midnight is presented as either 0000 or 2400. But in military parlance, we don't like using either one of those, because if it's either one, it could be at the beginning or the end of any single day. So midnight is usually displayed as 2359 or 0001. Now, because of a gremlin, a ghost in the machine on board the platform management system of a Collins boat, every night at midnight, it randomly shows either 2400 or 0000. So that's the most exciting part of the entire day. The entire crew's gathering around. We take bets. It's like playing two up. We record streaks. We keep a book, and we call it 24 dub zeros. And every midnight around about that time, there's either a rah or groans. So it's may seem a little silly, but that's really exciting. We really get stuck into that. So, did that answer your question, or did I just go off on a tangent completely? Yeah, thanks. 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon's another favourite.
What are the good and bad points?
In my experience on submarines, gender makes zero difference to a human being's capability. In submarines, we are submariners first and human beings second, almost. Because of the brutal fatigue, we really don't have any issues with fraternisation on board, because nobody has any energy to do that. If you're off watch, you'd either be in your bed or on your way to the bed or eating. So that's not really an issue. But for long-haul space missions, I don't see any issue with having men and women in the same crew. But something that it does need to be considered is the psychological result of if a male and a female member, or even two males or two females, or however it happens, if two of them start seeing each other, start sleeping together, good on them. If they break up acrimoniously, then that's going to last for the rest of the mission. Now, what if these two were in a relationship and then they broke up? Then this one starts seeing that one, and this one starts seeing that one, Now these two people are going to be at each other's throats as well. So I probably wouldn't recommend at this point to take along any sort of aids or, you know what I'm trying to say. It needs to be carefully considered. So either have, to make things easier, if you had a gender homogeneity, or you have a mix, but just understand that humans are humans, and you need to take into account every aspect of human behaviour. They're not robots, and they're going to have to, they're going to need to satisfy their emotional and instinctive needs as well as their professional ones.